We must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. And this week's opening quote comes from Martin Luther King. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. It is good to forgive people, folks. I know I have certainly forgiven all of those who have wronged me in my life, and there have certainly been a few occasions where this has happened. But really, when you look back at it, folks, it's all about the journey, isn't it? It's about the path. And the ability to forgive is a big part of it. And really, when you look at all the things that have happened to you and how you may have been wronged in the past, it's all really part of the journey, isn't it? And if you're comfortable with who you are right now, then really those wrongs and the things that happened to you and the way you dealt with them and the person you became because of those encounters is part of what made you who you are. It's certainly part of what made me who I am. All of the things that happened to me when I was a child, all the things that happened to me, some of the moments when I was at times of utter despair in my life, some of the lowest periods of my life when I thought the whole world was against me, ultimately turned out to be some of the greatest gifts that were ever given to me, in as much as they were gifts of personal understanding, gifts of spiritual growth, gifts of intellectual growth, things that taught me certain truths about myself and certain aspects of myself that I perhaps hadn't been able to face or didn't want to face before. So all the things that happen to us all lead us to a particular point, folks. It's simply how we deal with these things that makes the difference. You can look at these situations as opportunities and choose to grow from them, or you can dwell on them and you can let them eat you up and you basically miss out on your life at that point. I found it's always very good to become an observer of your own life. There comes certain times when you see that this is really the best way through. You kind of put yourself in third-person perspective and you watch your life and you watch it from the view of the observer. And you begin to see things and begin to see how things have played. You begin to start to pick up on little things about yourself that you could perhaps do better. And I found this to be highly beneficial if one is able to do this. And really, I think it's part of the human experience to be able to learn how to do this. I think it's highly beneficial to be able to do this. And it's good to be able to look at things from this perspective when looking at the system itself as well. And this is why I never really go for anything like violent revolution. I mean, I speak out against the governments. I name the criminals and psychopaths in government for what they are. But I don't ever seek to carry out any acts of violence against them or seek any retribution against them. I don't even wish to have them charged with any crimes. I just want them to stop messing with my brothers and sisters and doing the things that they're doing. And I'm quite happy to forgive these people because I know ultimately that they know not what they do. Even if they're psychopaths, well, that's simply the way they're wired. Ultimately, really, the problem is our acquiescence to this system, our willingness to go along with it rather than challenging it, rather than asking the right questions, rather than always following our moral compass, rather than what the legal guidelines may be. And we always get caught up with our petty little squabbles that happen within the system. And folks, you've got to understand, people within the system, these people are struggling at whatever level they happen to be on. They're still struggling because they're dealing with a false reality. They're living in a matrix. They're living in a world whereby they have to pay to be alive, and they're forced to compete with each other by whatever means are necessary for them to do so. And so it's understandable that many people within this type of social system, especially the people at the lower levels of it, may step outside of the moral boundaries now and then to simply try to put food on the table. And you can't judge these people. In fact, anybody who operates within the parameters of the system really knows not what they do. Because all of these people have been placed into a situation of artificial scarcity and debt slavery by the system itself, and they're forced to operate within psychopathic and sociopathic parameters, no matter how good they may be in their hearts and how well-meaning they may be in their actions and in their beliefs and in what they want to do. Sometimes they're simply forced to do whatever they need to do to survive. So it's important when we look at the system that we step back as an observer as well and see the way people are manipulated within the system into doing things that may not be the best, may not be completely morally sound, may not be completely good or true, but many of them are manipulated and pressured into behaving that way simply because of the system that they are attempting to survive within. That's one of the problems of the Western system, folks, and really most of the social systems on the planet, especially ones that employ the use of a usurious monetary system, which is designed to keep people in a state of debt and scarcity, and thereby force them into a state of competition, which I do not believe is the natural state of mankind. I believe that we naturally exist within a state of cooperation where we're left to our own devices and left to express our creative ability to the fullest of our potential. So when you look at this, folks, it's important that you don't simply discard those lower levels of society, those lower members of society. You know, you see homeless people, you see people that look like they're misfits, and you can't discard these people. You've got to understand that it is the system that has created these people. The system itself has created this situation that these people are in. Many people simply cannot function within the parameters of the system. I mean, I never could when I was a child. I was a total misfit when I was a kid because I simply couldn't function within the parameters of the system. I didn't know how to make it work at all. And so it's not surprising that there are many other people out there who simply don't know how to make it work either. And even those who do know how to make it work, who may be quite high on the social or business ladders, on the rungs of the business world, and they may be behaving in quite a sociopathic manner, you can't judge these people as being necessarily bad for what they do, because they are simply locked into the mindset of the system, and they're operating within these parameters, and these parameters themselves are sociopathic and psychopathic. And it is the system which forces people to basically adopt personalities which may not be their natural type of demeanor were they left to their own devices. And so we need to put down all the judgment, folks. We really do. We've got to step back and be an observer of this system, an observer of the different rungs of the social ladder and how people behave on them, and see what the root cause of the problem is, and take the necessary steps to actually deal with that problem. But without respect, we're not going to get anywhere, folks. So we have to put down all this division. We've got to take this observer perspective so we really can see things for what they are, which gives us the ability to do so. But we've got to be truthful as well, folks. We really do. I mean, we can take this observer status, and we can take this observer attitude, and we can keep forgiveness in our hearts, but we also have to be observant, and we have to call things for what they are. I mean, when I look at the politicians who run this country, like I said earlier, I have no problem in naming them as the psychopaths that they are and calling them out for what they do. But again, I don't really wish to hurt them. I just want them to stop what they're doing. And that's not going to happen unless people are honest enough to actually call things for what they are. And that is why I have no problem at all calling people like Tony Abbott out as the criminals that they are, calling Bronwyn Bishop out as the moron and criminal that she is. I mean, this is a woman that's supporting war crimes simply by her support for Israel, because Israel is a terrorist state carrying out war crimes. And anybody who doesn't admit that is simply lying to themselves. But again, you can be honest about it, folks, but don't blame the people of Israel. You've got to forgive the people of Israel, because the people of Israel are programmed into what they do. They have no idea what they're doing. They're programmed into this victim mentality whereby they think the entire world wants to kill them. And really, the entire world is annoyed with Israel because of its actions, and its actions are being carried out because it believes the entire world wants to kill it. It's a really vicious circle that it's got itself locked into. But all of the animosity that you see directed towards the Jewish people is really because of the actions of the state of Israel. And Israel is carrying out those actions because of the victim mentality it deliberately instills into its populace. And so you have to forgive them. You can't blame them for what they do, because if you were being raised in that situation, you would probably do the same thing. That's the problem, folks, and we just don't look at it that way. We tend to make a blanket statement and condemn an entire country due to the actions of its government, but we don't ever consider why the country thinks the way it does. I mean, look at America. America is almost an adolescent culture. It's almost a childlike culture. And honestly, folks, I love American people. I do. I love American people. All the Americans I've met have been wonderful people. Very kind, very gentle, very caring people. But you look at the nation on a whole, And it's absolutely disgraceful. But again, that is because of the actions of the government, and you've got the population of the country who are fed disinformation, false information, and delivered a completely unrealistic version of reality by their television every day, so they don't know what's going on. Most of the people in the United States don't even know the names of half of the countries outside of their border. They don't even know what's going on in the rest of the world. All they know is what their media tells them, and all they know is that America is a bastion of freedom that is going out and attempting to help the rest of the world when nothing could be further from the truth. So you can't really blame the people of America for their support of their governments or for what they do in general because of the information that they're fed and the training and programming that they are subject to, which causes them to behave in this way and think in the manner in which they do. And so again, you have to forgive them for their actions, folks. And look, I know it's hard. I really do. I mean, it's hard to forgive people sometimes, but it needs to be done. Personally, I find it a lot easier to forgive the people of Israel than I do to forgive people like members of the government. I find it a lot easier to forgive the people of Israel than I do to forgive someone like Tony Abbott, because Tony Abbott consciously knows what he's doing. I mean, the people of Israel are programmed the same as the way any people are programmed, the same as the way the people of America are programmed, the same as the way the people of Australia or even China are programmed. But it's different for the politicians. Tony Abbott knows that he's cutting a hole through the Great Barrier Reef and destroying the Great Barrier Reef. He knows that half of the nation has been sold to China and they're going to rip up all of our food bowl, and that it's going to place Australians in an incredible state of hardship in the future. We're not going to be able to produce our own food. He knows he's selling us down the river. He knows that coal seam gas mining is destroying the water table. He knows that fluoride is poisoning the people and keeping them dumb. He knows exactly what he's doing because he's a bought and sold little sociopathic cretin who works for corporate interests and not for the people of his country. So it's very difficult to forgive him. But again, you have to, because he's just a trained puppet. He's a trained monkey who's doing what his masters tell him. And he's such a moronic little sociopath that he really has blinkers on in regard to the future of mankind, I think. I mean, he's almost a non-human, Tony Abbott. He really is. He's like a genetic throwback of some kind. And you really look at the Liberal Party, and this is what you got. I mean, Bronwyn Bishop and these people, these are utter morons, folks. You can't really judge them as being bad because they're not real human beings. They simply don't think the way normal people do. They're obviously mentally impaired. They obviously have no empathy for people, are pure sociopathy personified. So it's very, very difficult to blame them for what they do. But again, because they are aware of it, it does make it also very difficult to forgive them for their actions. But again, that's a test for us, folks. I mean, I can forgive Tony Abbott. I can forgive Bronwyn Bishop. Doesn't mean I'll ever trust them, but I can forgive them. And that is a good test for me. That's a good test of my own personal strength that I'm able to do that. And so that is a personal goal that I can achieve by doing that. I achieve nothing by hating them. I achieve nothing by hating anybody. I don't know how to hate folks. I don't really know how to hate anybody. I've had all sorts of bad things happen to me in my life. I've had plenty of opportunities and plenty of excuses to hate people. I suppose that even in some way, hatred towards some people in my life could be well justified, but it's simply not a pathway I'm prepared to go down. Sure, there have been moments in my life when I was younger when I was incredibly angry and I'm very outspoken and almost violent in my talk towards people, but I've never hit anybody. I've never done anything violent to anybody. Not in my entire life have I ever thrown a punch at another person. And I've never done anything hateful. I've never done anything that actually contained malicious intent. I may have done the wrong thing sometimes, but I never actually intended to do the wrong thing. And so that's just the sort of a person I am, folks. I find it very difficult to hate anybody. I find it a lot easier to forgive people than to hate people. And I think forgiveness is a big part of it. Forgiveness is something that we all need to embrace, because forgiveness is character building. Forgiveness is actually a strength that you can attain yourself, and it's a very, very hard barrier to overcome. But if you can put forgiveness in your heart and look at this global situation and then apply yourself to this global situation with righteous anger and righteous indignation, but without any animosity, without any hatred, and with forgiveness in your heart, then I think we can really make a difference. I mean, that's the key, folks. We can't just go out there and be aggressive and stomp all over everybody who's ever done the wrong thing by us. If we do that, we're going to find it most of the world is going to get trodden on because everybody's going to have some little bone to pick with everybody else. And really, they have to step above it and realize that it's all been a result of the system itself. And so that's where the focus needs to be. And it has to come from respect, folks. If we don't have this initial respect and then move that forward, then we're not going to get anywhere. You know, folks, you can start this at a grassroots level in your own community. Look at the people who've wronged you in your own life and look at the people who you may have wronged in your own life and put all these differences down and then lift that up to a more state level and start dealing with the politicians that have wronged you and start calling things for what they are at that level, but forgiving the politicians who have wronged you and then move it to a national level. And then if we can move it to an international level and the different countries can actually start forgiving each other for whatever it is they may have done in the past, we can maybe move things forward a little bit. But the point I'm trying to make here, folks, is that we need to put all of this stuff and all this baggage we've been carrying around both individually and nationally and internationally. We've got to put all this stuff down and we've got to realize that we're in a situation here. We're in a situation where humanity is facing a clear and present danger, and the danger we are facing is coming from the system itself, the system that we constructed to service our needs. And it is out of control. And unless we can put down our baggage and stop blaming people and looking for retribution from everybody, if we can just put it all aside and realize that it doesn't matter what happened in the past, it doesn't matter what people did, it matters what we do from this point forward. Because everything everybody did was a result of working within sociopathic and psychopathic parameters that had been provided for them by the system anyway. So most of these people simply knew not what they were doing. But now we can view the world a little differently. Now we can view the world a little more realistically. And we've got to realize that all of the problems that we've been dealing with have all been a result of this system. And we've just got to put it all down and move forward from this point. Like I said, folks, it doesn't matter how we got here. What matters is that we are here and we need to find a way out of this quagmire. And that's only going to happen when we can put down all of this baggage that we've been carrying around for years, put down all of our animosity towards each other and actually move things forward in a positive and respectful manner. That's really the only way forward, folks. And we're not going to find that path forward until we're prepared to do that, until we're really prepared to put all this stuff down and act respectfully. And look, I've been delivering this message to you for 8 years now. I really have. It's been the same message ever since day one. The need for us to put all of our stuff down and respect each other and begin some sort of meaningful dialogue to find a pathway out of this mess. I mean, the point I'm attempting to make here, folks, is that no one within the system really knows what they're doing. No one was ever given an even playing field. No one was ever given an even break. And everyone who is forced to operate within the parameters of this system is being forced to operate according to psychopathic and sociopathic parameters. So you can't judge anybody for what they've done. We've got to all put this stuff down and realize that, as I said, we have a situation here. We have a clear and present danger that all humanity is facing. And until we can learn to put all of these differences down and let the past go and deal with what our future is becoming, then we're not going to find a way out of this. We've got to stop all the division, especially the division in the alternate media. The alternate media has frankly turned into a bit of a joke. Everybody seems to be competing with everybody else. There are very, very few honest voices, it would appear, left in the alternate media, which is a great shame. But having said that, there is, of course, still a lot of good information coming out. There are still a lot of reputable sources out there. And it's just up to the listener to decide what is right for them. But ultimately, folks, what we've got to do is work towards solutions. We've got to work towards a way out of this mess. And we've got to do it in a common enough language that people are going to actually get it. I mean, I can go as conspiratorial as people want. And I know that there is a conspiracy. I mean, I'll put out films about the grand conspiracy that does exist. But to reach the man on the street, conspiratorial language doesn't work. I know, I've tried it. I've been trying it for 30 years and I've been trying it intensely for the last 8, and it simply hasn't worked. Well, it has to some degree, but not to as much of a degree as what I would have liked and as much of a degree as what we need it to work. So I firmly believe we need to start addressing things in very, very simple terms and in a common enough language in order to lead people back to a point of awakening. And that's why I've been attempting to use elements within the system lately. Even though I don't believe in the system or any of its legal or financial aspects or really anything to do with it, I think that the whole thing is a fiction. It's a cloud. It's a slavery system, and it shouldn't exist in its current form. But still, pointing that out to people is no way to reach the average man on the street. You've got to lead them to a point where they realize that themselves. And that's what I've been attempting to do over the last year. That's why I've changed tactics a little bit and attempted to start trying to weave a path out of the system by starting from within the system and leading people back to a point of safety from there. I've found that by speaking in a language they understand, I'm having a lot more success anyway. So that's why I've been attempting these methods lately. But hey, if you have a better idea, then I'm all ears. Anything that you think will wake up the sleeping masses, I think is a good thing. But the thing is, folks, that even when attempting to bring the information to people in this way, in a very simplified, non-conspiratorial way, you're never going to do it if you've got stuff with people. If you're judging people because of whatever ethnic group they belong to or stuff that's happened in the past, or you've got all this baggage that you're dealing with, whatever, you're never going to be able to reach people. You're never going to be able to approach the matter from a clear enough perspective to be able to reach them effectively. So it's important to really understand what has brought you to your beliefs and what has brought you to your point of view. And it's really important to put yourself in the shoes of other people and understand what has brought them to their point of view as well. But ultimately, folks, usually what you're going to find is that whatever life people have had, it's been a result of them finding a way through this system. And the problem is the system itself. Even those people who run major corporations who you may have a problem with, you've got to forgive them. You'll find that a lot of people who run these major corporations are actually nice people, and they have no real idea about what the corporation does. And the people working at the lower levels within the corporation have no real idea of what they're doing either. They're just following what it says on the book and what the worksheet says, and it's all compartmentalized, and nobody really knows what everybody else is doing. And there's very few of them who actually have time to sit back and look at the bigger picture. So it's important, again, folks, to show forgiveness when dealing with all of these situations and to realize that the problem isn't the company. The problem isn't the people within the company. The problem is the system itself and the parameters that the system imposes upon the company. And I think it's really important that people view things from this perspective. There were shows that I did back as early as 2010. I think one of the names of one of the shows was Seeing Through the Meme, where I discussed this, the fact that the system itself has become its own life form, and the energy that the system consumes is the energy of the people themselves, the energy that we give it through our belief that the system is real, and our choice to operate within the parameters that the system provides for us. I mean, when I say choice, of course, people are generally coerced into operating within these parameters, but ultimately, it is a choice, folks. It really is. We could choose to do the right thing. We could choose to question the authority that is directed at us. We could choose to question the parameters of the system. The problem is that we don't. But the system itself is where the problem lies and the energy that we give to the system. And it's about to become even more that way, folks. It's about to become even more of an energy exchange than what it is. This is what the whole smart grid is all about. It's what the whole technocratic system is all about. Recently, I did a show called New World Technocracy, and that's really what it's about, folks. It's the economic technocratic system that is being imposed on us that is the system, because that is the way it is going, and that's what it's developing into. And again, this is something that I've been telling you about for years. I've been talking about this economic model and how it is being used to consolidate power on this planet. And everything is economically based. And they talk about this quite often in their works and their writings. They talk about the new economic order. Just go and look at a book. Actually, there's a book that came out recently by a man called Patrick Wood, which I recommend everybody go and read. It's a fantastic book. I personally consider it to be one of the most important books on the market today. And it's called Technocracy Rising by Patrick Wood. So I do recommend that you read that if you want to see where this system is going and how it's all being put together and see how the smart grid and the whole credit card system and the surveillance system and even global warming, climate change, the UN directives, the green economy, the resource-based economy, all the things that are being presented to us, they are all leading down the pathway of technocracy. And the glue that will hold the technocratic system together is the new economy that will be introduced, which will be more of an energy-based economy. And when I say an energy-based economy, it'll be what energy you put into the system is the amount of energy you are able to withdraw from the system. This, of course, will force everybody into a situation where they are required to work, and if they cannot find a job they like, then one will be designated for them. And if they can't find housing they like, then housing will be designated for them. And it may not always be what we want. And this, of course, will remove humankind of any creative potential and any creative input into their own lives, because that's what it's about. They don't like creativity on an individual level within the system. They like the people to be subservient to the system and let the system take care of their needs. And the system does not like individual creativity, because individual creativity may disturb the hegemony of the system. And that is not what it's about at all. And when it's AI controlled, folks, this is where it's going. It will be an AI controlled system, and that system will squash any independent thought. It will squash any human creative potential, and it will make sure everybody is doing things by the numbers, make sure the books are all balanced, and that everybody is towing the line and walking between the lines, and that all the numbers balance. It will remove humanity from the equation completely. It will remove empathy from the equation completely, and we will be entering a new age of a robot-like society. And that is the future that is planned for mankind via the imposition of this economically based technocratic system, which is slowly being superimposed over our reality. And it's happening right under everybody's noses, right before their eyes, and nobody's really looking at it. Everyone's kind of lapping it up because they like the glitz and the glamour and the convenience that the technology is providing for them. And that is the hook, folks. That is what lures them in. And that is how humanity is being removed of everything that makes them human. But folks, I think we've reached break time here, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, look, forgiveness is important, folks, and the reason I've gone on about forgiveness so much on the show today, in the first half of the show, is because I really think we need some unity on this planet, folks. There's so many people that are carrying all this stuff, and the whole concept of divide and conquer is what is keeping us apart. We have to put down all this stuff, folks. I mean, even within Full Circle Project, there are areas where I'm dealing with conflict resolution, and I just can't see why this even exists. I honestly don't know why people can't get along with other people. I don't understand why people have so many problems with others, why people are not able to simply respect each other and move forward in a positive way. And I think this is a result of this system. I think it's a result of the programming that most people are subject to. And I think it's imperative that we put all of this programming down. Of course, it's different with different cultures. You find different people from different countries are programmed in different ways. Many people are programmed into very left brain ways of thinking. And it's very, very difficult to break this type of programming with people, especially when they've been indoctrinated into it since birth. But it's simply something that we have to do. And the key here is respect, folks. To put down everything that's come before, anything that you've been taught, any opinion that you may have, just wipe the slate clean, folks. Empty the cup so that you can now fill the cup with new information and a new positive attitude and a new positive way forward. You know, we have the answers to our dilemma, folks. We have the solution at our fingertips. If we could just put down all of our stuff with each other and act respectfully and put all our cards on the table, we'd find a way through this. We really would. You know, everybody's got a piece of the puzzle, and if we can all put it together in some constructive, respectful dialogue, then we're going to find a solution. The problem is that we're always looking for political solutions, or we're always looking for someone else to lead us out of this mess. We're not prepared to act ourselves, and that's what we need to do. We've all got to start participating in this process. We've got to start participating in our own lives by participating in the political system, actively participating in it, folks. We cannot ignore politics, because politics is what has brought us to this point. The corrupt politicians and the lies that they spread and the things they do is what has brought us to this point. So we've got to start calling things for what they are, folks. And when I say participate in the political system, I'm not saying you need to get out there and vote. I'm saying you need to stand up and get involved yourself and start calling things for what they are. Go to council meetings and stand up and make a statement, because we have to rein these politicians in, folks. And you're not going to do it by voting, not unless there's actually a responsible candidate put up there for you to vote for, and there certainly isn't one yet. But you are going to make a difference by calling things for what they are. And that is true politics, folks. Politics is standing up and making a statement on the floor yourself, not voting for some puppet. And it's the politicians that cause all these problems, folks. It's the politicians and the corporations that they support. But the problem is that that is going to continue until we stand up and do something about it. Actually, I saw a great picture the other day. I saw a picture of Dick Cheney, and there was a caption underneath that said, "Arrest every politician that has accepted monies or favours to influence legislation, along with every lobbyist that facilitated the transfer and every corporate executive that authorised the bribe." And that's what I think we should do, folks. That's exactly what we should do. We should arrest any politician who has ever accepted monies or favours to influence legislation and every lobbyist who has initiated these bribes, because that's what lobbying is, folks. It's political bribery. Let's call it for what it is. We've got politicians who are placed in office and then they are given huge bribes in order to push legislation through, all of which serves corporate interests and does not serve the needs of the people. And that's the big problem, folks. And we allow this to happen. We call it lobbying. We call it all these nice words, but ultimately it's bribery. It's criminals accepting bribes in order to do things for their friends. And this is no way to run a political system, and it's certainly no way to run a country. And it's this type of lobbying and this type of control and leeway that is granted to these incredibly large and powerful corporations that has caused all of the problems. But again, folks, this happens because we don't participate. We don't call things for what they are. We are constrained by political correctness and legislation that criminals put in place to control us. I was actually at a talk the other day and someone said to me about voting. They said, well, it's compulsory to vote. And I just said, well, I don't. And they said, well, you have to. And I said, well, why? Just because some criminal writes down on a piece of paper that I have to support his criminal empire and I have to vote for the lesser of two evils, are you kidding me? Does that mean I actually have to do that? Of course I don't. Just because somebody wrote down on a piece of paper that I have to participate and that if I'm given one of these two candidates, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, it doesn't matter if they're both sociopaths, I have to choose one of them. Well, no, I won't. I will vote when there is a suitable candidate put there for me to vote for. But until then, I simply will not vote, because if I choose to vote in the current Australian political system, then I'm saying it's okay to steal from my friends, it's okay to steal from me, it's okay to frack the water table, it's okay to destroy the barrier reef, it's okay to put apartheid laws in place and repress the Aboriginal people, it's okay to support the war crimes of Israel, it's okay to have this country involved in the fake war on terror, it's okay to tax the population, it's okay to enslave them to a privately run monetary system. I'm saying it's okay to all of those things and many more things simply by voting into this political system. Well, I don't think it is okay. I don't think it's okay for any of those things to happen, and I will not support organised crime, and therefore I will not participate in the Australian political system. I'll criticise it, and I'll call it for what it is, and if there is a candidate that's worth voting for, then absolutely I will participate and I will vote for that candidate. But until there is a responsible, respectful and honest candidate who's actually going to speak the truth, then unfortunately there is no one for me to vote for, and I will not participate in that voting system because I will not support the organised criminal cabal euphemistically referred to as the Australian Federal Government. I'll participate in politics in a different way, folks. I'll participate by standing up and calling it for what it is, and that is a den of vipers, sociopaths and criminals who are milking the wealth of this nation and selling the populace down the river while they allow corporations to come in and destroy this country through their ridiculous agreements such as the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which is essentially an environmental rape agreement, which has paved the way for any sociopathic corporate entity to rape the resources of any country at the expense of the people. There are also provisions within the TPPA that says that if The country is subject to protests from its citizens, and these protests interfere with the corporate rape of your country, then the government must tax the population to make up the difference for the corporate losses. There are all sorts of wonderful things that have been put in place with this agreement, folks. This is pure sociopathy, and this is a very, very clear indication of just how willing our politicians are to sell the country out. This is what Tony Abbott has done, folks. Tony Abbott has opened the doors for corporate rape of this country like no politician has ever done before him. Of course, Julia Gillard did a damn good job as well as Captain Bly in Queensland. These two sociopaths did a great deal of damage to this country. Of course, I can forgive them for that because they're just programmed puppets and monkeys who don't really know what they're doing. But you can't just allow it to happen without calling it for what it is, folks. I mean, people who support Tony Abbott, I mean, they must have rocks in their head. They really have. I don't know how this imbecile was ever voted into power. And I don't know how anybody who is able to get to a normal day without help could possibly support such a moron as Tony Abbott, especially such a sociopathic moron as Tony Abbott. I mean, honestly, folks, just the fact that we've got someone of such a low moral fiber and someone who is such a complete imbecile in power in this country is a very good indication of how necessary it is for normal people to get involved in politics and start standing up and calling things for what they are. I mean, if we're going to have people like this in power, folks, we may as well find some garden variety pickpocket and put him up there. He'd probably do better than Tony Abbott. I mean, you could basically just pick anybody off the street, folks. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter if they've got a grade 5 education. They would still do better than Tony Abbott and probably be able to speak more intelligently and have a little bit more thought in their statements as well. I mean, it shows just how far politics has degraded in this country, folks, and it shows just how willing the people of Australia are to turn a blind eye and look the other way and just allow any moron to run things for them. It's a very good indication of how dumbed down the people of Australia have actually become, that they would even allow such an idiot as Tony Abbott to remain in power for longer than a week, especially after some of the statements he's made. And that's the thing, folks, the statements he's made, in fact, when you look at the statements he's made, and in fact, sometimes the statements he refuses to make and hasn't made, like, for example, one time where he just sat in front of a camera, like, nodding his head for about 5 minutes, like he was some robot that was stuck in mid-movement. I mean, after seeing these so-called interviews and some of the public statements this idiot made prior to gaining office, it just defies analysis that anybody voted for him in the first place. I mean, how much of a short memory must these people have that they actually put their vote to this man and thought this guy would be the one to run the country? I mean, the guy couldn't run a school canteen. He couldn't successfully run a third world brothel. This guy couldn't run anything. He's an idiot. And it just blows my mind that he's in power. But anyway, I digress. I forgive him. He's such an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. And so how can you hate him for it? He's obviously born with a very, very impaired intellect and psychopathic tendencies. So you have to forgive him his actions, but at the same time, folks, you've got to call them for what they are, because the actions of this sociopathic little cretin are destroying the water table, are destroying the barrier reef, are destroying the lifestyles and the lives in general of millions of people within this country. And the results of this sociopathic moron's actions are going to have ramifications that are going to last in this country for generations to come, simply due to the people not standing up and calling things for what they are when they had the chance to do so. I mean, admittedly, we are seeing more and more people wake up to reality. We are seeing more and more people starting to stop supporting the system, but it's still difficult for people to see that there may be a remedy anywhere. It's still difficult for people to see that there actually is a way out, because people are still looking for a political remedy. And ultimately, it's got to come down to us, folks. It's got to come down to the people participating. And this, again, is what Full Circle Project is all about. It's a mechanism whereby people are able to participate, and that you don't have to sign your life away. And there is nothing to subscribe for. There's nothing to pay for. There's no donations to make. And there are no leaders. There's no one to lead you. There's no one to constrain what you may do. It's simply a mechanism whereby you are able to link up with people in your community and you are able to start grassroots action wherever you happen to be on this planet at the moment. You're able to link up with like-minded people, and we're able to use this to link up all of the different organizations as well, and helping them direct their focus back towards the abusive office, which has caused the problems that they're seeking to address. The Full Circle Project is simply a mechanism whereby we are able to create some sort of unity, some sort of a groundswell, and some sort of coordinated, cohesive response to this control grid. And that's what it's all about, folks. So do go and sign up to the Full Circle Project and do get involved. Because once we put down all this rubbish we're carrying around, folks, and we start seeing that there is a higher harmonic here, there's actually bigger fish to fry than anybody you believe may have wronged you within this system, anybody on the ground level. There's actually bigger fish to fry. It's the politicians and the banking cartels that created the system that put that person in a state of hardship and distress and spiritual disconnection to begin with, which caused them to wrong you. And if this person was left in their natural environment and left to fulfill their own creative potential and given an even playing field to begin with, chances are they would never have wronged anybody. So it's really important that we address this, folks, and it's really important that we rein this system back under control and create some sort of a vibrant future for mankind, because this system is simply not going to do it, and it's just getting worse and worse. It's getting more and more totalitarian, and it's locking us down more and more. And so we've got to find a way out of it, and that can only come with unity. You know, it's been really sad seeing the amount of disunity that's happened in the truth movement lately in the alternate media. It's been really sad to see the division in the camps. It's been really, really sad and upsetting to see the anger and animosity and downright divisionist nature of the Flat Earth crew, folks. It really has. These people have driven a huge wedge into the truth movement. These are very, very insulting, very aggressive people who simply will not open any debate and will belittle anybody who doesn't jump on their bandwagon. And of course, the bandwagon they're jumping on has been designed to discredit everybody who jumps on it. It's been designed to make sure the truth movement and the alternate media is stopped in its tracks. And that's exactly what it's done to a great degree. It's actually caused a huge wedge in the alternate media, and it has really, really slowed down any response to this system. It's managed to divide so many people. This is exactly what I said it would do when I first spoke about it a few months ago. I said, you just watch to see the results of this so-called research and watch the division that it creates. And it has done an incredibly good job at dividing the community and stopping this whole global awakening in its tracks. It really has, folks. It's created a huge wedge, and the government must truly be sitting back and laughing at their handiwork, folks. That's, of course, who has put this out, and they are laughing at the amount of division it's created and the way it has brought everything to a grinding halt. That, of course, was its purpose, and that is obviously its purpose. This was very, very easily seen when it first came out that this was what this so-called research was going to do, and it has been very effective at doing so. So that's another hurdle we have to overcome, folks. We've got to try to convince these Flat Earth people to start actually being respectful and starting to realize that there is actually a higher harmonic, and that the reason this rabbit hole exists is because they don't have control of the system, and so we need to get control of the system. And all pursuing these rabbit holes is doing is making sure that we do not do that. We are not focused in the right direction, and that the system is able to continue barreling on towards the cliff the way it's going. And just think, folks, if the people who are researching the Flat Earth were a little more secure in their convictions, at least secure enough not to attack anybody who questions them and not to insult anybody who questions them, which of course indicates a person who is very insecure in their convictions, if these people were simply respectful, then we actually could have got somewhere with a lot of this sort of stuff. I mean, it certainly got a lot of people's attention, even though it's not leading them anywhere. It's not giving them any solutions. It certainly got their attention. And if only the people who were down this rabbit hole actually respected people, we actually could have created some sort of a groundswell rather than creating the wedge that it has created. But as I said, this is, of course, what I predicted it would do, because it was, of course, what it was designed to do. And the way it was being presented to the people was designed this way as well. It was designed to create a wedge and to create division. And it's just a shame that the people who got seduced into going down that rabbit hole also got seduced into the type of intolerant attitude that they demonstrate towards anybody who questions their point of view or may wish to debate their point of view. pity, but predictable and definitely put together by someone who understands how human nature works and knows how to manipulate public opinion and control the direction of people's thought processes. Very predictable, but very clever all the same. Of course, I'm sure it's also been a very good money spinner for certain people who have written books who are selling them to the hapless public who are lapping up all of this information and therefore ignoring the system around them. So that's the thing about these government psyops, folks. Not only do they distract people, but the people who run them also get to make a pretty tidy income out of them. But of course, in another year or two, it'll all be swept under the carpet again. The system will still be going along the way it always has been. The authors of the books will be off buying their mansions and living the high life the way they always wanted to, and the system will continue to lock itself down around the population simply because they were too distracted to actually address the problem. Well, that's one possibility. Anyway, the other possibility is that the Flat Earth crew will wake up to the fact that the only reason the rabbit hole exists is because they don't have control of the system and they will actually turn their focus where it's needed to be. And another possibility is that we will create a groundswell anyway, regardless of the wedges that people attempt to drive into the alternate media and regardless of the wedges people attempt to drive into our social systems, humanity will rise to the occasion. We will step into our power and we will stand up and we will reclaim our birthright, which is this world that we live upon. The world that has been wrested from our control by those people we have appointed to manage our infrastructure in a responsible manner who have abused their power and have stolen our energy and our lives and everything that we are from us. They have quite literally stolen our humanity from us, ladies and gentlemen. And they are leading us into a technocratic, transhumanist nightmare simply because we are too distracted. And I keep coming back to this, but it's true, you know. And if we could put down all these distractions and turn to face this system for just one day in a united, coordinated response, we could heal this entire world and then all of the rabbit holes that people have been going down would all find their doorways opened, and people would be free to explore whatever it is they wanted to explore. The people would be free to find out whether the earth is flat or not, and not just to sit there and put out speculation and conjecture the way everybody does. I mean, that's what all of these mysteries are, folks. Speculation and conjecture. That's what just about every rabbit hole you can go down is. It's speculation and conjecture. I mean, there are certain things we can prove, but ultimately the information is so muddied in so many of these directions. I mean, every rabbit hole you go down, there has been every man and his dog offer their opinion on what is going on, which is mostly speculative and mostly conjecture, and it has muddied the waters so much that it has become very, very difficult to find the truth of anything. And so it gets to a point where you realize that all of these rabbit holes have been put there for us, all of the waters have been muddied deliberately, and the only way we're going to find out the answer to any of these mysteries is to address things from their root cause, and that means regaining control of the system. And when I say regaining control of the system, actually it's gaining control of the system, because we have never had control of this system. It's always been run for us. Now, humanity has had their lives controlled for literally eons, folks. It's been centuries and centuries, millennia. Yeah, I can't find anywhere in any history books or anywhere in any state of human development where I can find freedom. There is nowhere that I have seen freedom in the human condition in any point in history up to this point. There's been small modicums of freedom for little villages that may be isolated somewhere in the jungle, but there hasn't been any freedom, not overall freedom, for the human condition ever since humanity came into being. And now is the time that we can create that if people would just put their stuff down and turn to face this system for one day. I tell you, folks, it's incredibly frustrating. It really is, because we could so easily heal this system and open up all the doorways, open up all the rabbit holes for exploration and everything, solve all the mysteries that have troubled us for so many years, if people would simply put down their stuff, stop driving wedges into the alternate media, stop driving wedges into their consciousness and into their community, and unite as one respectful people and turn to face this system for one day. I mean, we could make an incredible difference if we could just do that, folks. And I don't know why people cannot see the validity of this approach. I don't know why people cannot see the simplicity of it. And I don't know why people cannot see how effective this approach would be. And all it requires is respect and a united voice. But what do we get in the alternative media, folks? We get so many people with an agenda, and anybody who disagrees with their agenda gets attacked. We have people who open up pages on their websites directed at other people simply to insult other people. I've got people that got my names on their website simply so you can do a search for my name and you'll get directed to their website where you can be led down a rabbit hole of disinformation. I mean, this is what they do, folks. This is what they do with everybody. They find any researcher that's making a difference. They start spreading disinformation about them, posting bad articles about them, and leading people down rabbit holes. And we could put all of this aside, stand up, call things for what they are, and heal the world in a day, and then we would have everything open for us to explore and investigate, and all the mysteries will be laid bare. And it's so frustrating to see how simple this solution is and how distracted the population is away from what the real solutions are. So ultimately, folks, it's got to come down to you. It really does. The people out there listening to this, I mean, you know what to do. You know what is going on in your life, and you need to make the choice as to which direction you want to go in. You can choose to make a positive difference in your own community, or you can choose to just listen to these radio shows and bumble along. There's no problem. You can choose to go down a flat earth rabbit hole and sit there reading books and gazing at the horizon for the next 5 years, wishing you could actually go and investigate it, and then maybe one day finally realize why you can't and turn to address the legislation. Hopefully it won't be too late by then. Or you can choose to address the legislation and the corrupt criminal system which has created all of these mysteries to begin with. Now, we all have a choice, folks. We all have a choice of what to do right now in our community. We have a choice of where to put our focus, where to put our attention. We have a choice to indulge in little petty squabbles, which we think may alleviate our lives in some way, when really all they do is relieve pent-up frustration at the fact that we can't really address the bigger problems. Or we can decide that we can address the bigger problems, or we can turn to face them and simply call things for what they are. You know, if everyone simply stood up and called things for what they are, we can make a big difference very, very quickly, folks. It's people's unwillingness to do that that creates the problem. People's willingness to support divisionist activities and their willingness to go down rabbit holes rather than simply wondering why the rabbit hole exists and addressing the problem that created the rabbit hole to begin with. People choose to try to put band-aids on symptoms, and they choose to snap the heads off those around them because it relieves their frustration at not being able to deal with the system. People continue to harvest energy from others. They continue to support their own agenda rather than really stepping back and looking at things holistically and realizing that if we choose to participate on the ground in our own community right now, we can actually make a difference. We can change the direction the ship of state is sailing. We can put it back on track, and we can lead humanity back to a point of safety. But that's only going to happen if people choose to participate, and that's only going to happen if people are able to put down all their stuff, put down all their division, and realize why these rabbit holes exist, why they are constantly led down blind alleys that lead to no remedy, and why they need to pull their heads out of these rabbit holes and actually turn to face things now while we still have the chance and the ability to make a difference. Because if we just ignore this system and let it continue, folks, pretty soon we're going to be removed of that ability, and that will place humanity in a very dangerous and very precarious position, as if we weren't in one already. But folks, look, I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks. It's very, very close to the end of the show now, so I'm going to have to leave it there. It's been a pleasure coming and talking to you on the air today. I know it's probably been a bit of a different show for many people. I'm sorry I haven't been able to bring you any sort of positive, uplifting energy, but I'm just feeling a little frustrated at the global situation, folks. I'm feeling a little frustrated at the amount of division I'm seeing, and I'm feeling a little frustrated at people's inability to see that which is right before their eyes. And so I simply have to say what I'm feeling. But look, it has been a pleasure coming and speaking to you again today. Thank you to anybody who's ever helped out with the website or ever made a donation to the Crow House. I really could use some, folks. I know I keep saying that, and I hate asking for donations, but I really have no other choice at the moment. But anyway, thank you to anybody who has ever helped out, and I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then, folks, and don't think you can't make a difference on the ground, because you can. Please get involved in the Full Circle Project, and we can all make a difference. I look forward to speaking to you again next week in Lakesh.